Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 8. Chapter 8 is entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti. Today we are reading text 47. Aha Raja Dharma Sutas.
Aha Raja Dharma Sutas.
Aha Raja Dharma Sutas.
Aha Raja Dharma Sutas.
Chintayan Suridam
Vadham. Chintayan Suridam
Vadham. Chintayan Suridam
Vadham.
Prakritenatmana
Vipra.
Prakritenatmana
Vipra.
Sneha Moha Vasham Gata.
Sneha Moha
Vasham Gata.
Sneha Moha Vasham Gata.
Aha Raja Dharma Sutas.
Aha Raja Dharma Sutas.
Chintayan Suridam Vadham.
Chintayan Suridam Vadham.
Prakritenatmana
Vipra. Prakritenatmana
Vipra. Sneha Moha Vasham Gata.
Sneha Moha Vasham Gata.
Aha Raja Dharma Sutas.
Aha Raja Dharma Sutas.
Chintayan Suridam Vadham.
Chintayan Suridam Vadham.
Prakritenatmana
Vipra.
Sneha Moha Vasham Gata.
Sneha Moha Vasham Gata.
Aha. Said.
Said.
Raja.
Raja.
King Yudhishthir.
King Yudhishthir.
Dharma Suta.
Dharma Suta.
The son of Dharma, Yamaraj.
Chintayan.
Chintayan.
Thinking of.
Suridam.
Suridam.
Of the friends.
Of the friends.
Vadham.
Vadham.
Killing.
Killing.
Prakritena.
Prakritena.
By material conception only.
Material conception only.
Atmana.
Atmana.
By the self.
By the self.
Vipra.
Vipra.
O Brahmana.
O Brahmana.
Sneha.
Sneha.
Affection.
Affection.
Moha.
Moha.
Delusion.
Delusion.
Vasham.
Vasham.
Being carried away by.
Being carried away by.
Gata.
Gata.
Having gone. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. King Yudhishthira, son of Dharma, overwhelmed by the death of his friends, was aggrieved just like a common materialistic man. O sages, thus deluded by affection, he began to speak. Purport. King Yudhishthira, though he was not expected to become aggrieved like a common man, became deluded by worldly affection by the will of the Lord, just as Arjuna was apparently deluded. A man who sees, knows well that the living entity is neither the body nor the mind, but is transcendental to the material conception of life. The common man thinks of violence and non-violence in terms of the body, but that is a kind of delusion. Everyone is duty-bound according to one's occupational duties. A kshatriya is bound to fight for the right cause, regardless of the opposite party. In such discharge of duty, one should not be disturbed by the annihilation of the material body, which is only an external dress of the living soul. All this was perfectly known to Maharaj Yudhishthir, but by the will of the Lord, he became just like a common man, because there was another great idea behind this delusion. The king would be instructed by Bhishma as Arjuna was instructed by the Lord himself. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara
Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You read the translation once again. King Yudhishthira, son of Dharma, overwhelmed by the death of his friends, was aggrieved just like a common materialistic man. O sages, thus deluded by affection, he began to speak. So, we are seeing here that we are entering into a different section of Bhagavatam now. The prayers of Queen Kunti Maharani have just got over. And now we are going to enter another nectarian section of the Bhagavatam, which is Bhishma's instructions to King Yudhishthir, which will start in the next chapter, maybe in a few verses. So these series of verses, which are going on towards the end of this chapter, they are setting the scene for Bhishma's instructions to be spoken to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Actually, Krishna was about to depart for Dwarka after the war was over, and after Kunti Maharani's prayers, he was about to mount his chariot. But Yudhishthir Maharaj just requested him, because the Pandavas were intimate friends of the Lord. They were intimate associates of the Lord. So they could not bear separation from the Lord. So Yudhishthir Maharaj just made a simple request to Krishna, if he could extend his stay by some more days. And Krishna actually agreed. So there are dual purposes in this. Krishna was actually reciprocating with Yudhishthir Maharaj's affection, because he is his pure devotee. And also Krishna wanted to give darshan to Bhishma, because he knew that now these pastimes are going to happen, where Yudhishthir Maharaj will feel aggrieved and he will take him to Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma is a Mahajan, he is a pure devotee of the Lord. And he had taken a vow that he will take darshan of the Lord and then leave his body. So Krishna also wanted to give his darshan to Bhishma. So these are the dual purposes Krishna was serving by staying back and listening to Yudhishthir Maharaj's request. So we see in these series of verses, like it started from the previous verse and it will go on for the next few verses, Yudhishthir Maharaj has started grieving, and the translation says that he was grieving like a common materialistic man. Like common people grieve when their relatives die, or their near and dear ones die, or their friends die, how they start grieving. We see that Yudhishthir Maharaj is grieving like that, and he is overcome by sneha and moha, like it is there in this Sanskrit. So Prabhupada says that sneha and moha means he was overcome by the illusory affection of bodily attachments in this world. And Prabhupada says this is similar to Arjuna's affection. Arjuna also expressed the same feelings when the battle of Kurukshetra was about to start. He also expressed to Krishna, he also started grieving. He said that my Gandiva bow is shaking, I'm not able to even stand up. Arjuna was such a great warrior, but he started trembling out of fear. And he told Krishna that I'm not able to fight because these are my relatives. So he was also overcome by similar sneha moha, like Yudhishthir Maharaj has been overcome in this section. And Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, in the purports where Arjuna is a bit bewildered. He says that he glorifies Arjuna. In fact, Prabhupada says that this is not actually common materialistic means grieving, but this is because this is the quality of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is always soft-hearted, even though he knows that what action he is about to perform. Like the war was all going on and it was going to happen under Krishna's instructions. So it was all as per instructions of Krishna. They were not going against Dharma. But still, a Vaishnava is very, very soft-hearted. He is very compassionate by nature. This is the quality of a Vaishnava, that he is para-dukha-dukhi. So he even feels compassion if the body of his relative is going to be deteriorated, or his relative is going to die. A Vaishnava feels compassion. And same compassion we are seeing Yudhishthir Maharaj feeling over here. This is the quality of a Vaishnava, that he is para-dukha-dukhi. His heart is not dry or stone-hearted, that he has killed and he thinks, oh, this is all dharma I have done, and it's not that he will not feel anything. And same example we see in Parikshit Maharaj's life also. In fact, we just studied that canto recently in our Bhakti Vaibhav course. So the fifth canto, towards the end of fifth canto, Sukadeva Goswami gives description of the hellish planets to Parikshit Maharaj, and the description is really gruesome. Like there are so many hellish planets described, and who will go to which hell and what suffering in detail is given, what suffering that Jiva will go through in that particular hell. And that's how the fifth canto ends. And as soon as the sixth canto starts, and a new topic is about to start, it's not that Parikshit Maharaj just, okay, I have heard about hell, but I'm not going to go there. I'm a devotee of the Lord, so I'm not going to see hell. No, he doesn't think like that. He just doesn't leave the matter. And Prabhupada says that Parikshit Maharaj is also Paradukhadukhi. He is a very compassionate soul. So he immediately asks Sukhadeva Goswami. He says that for all those jivas who are suffering in hell, what is the solution? How can they come out of that suffering? And Prabhupada says that these questions of Parikshit Maharaj indicate that he is so compassionate. He just doesn't want to leave that matter alone, that oh, if they are suffering because of their karma, what can be done? No. He asks Krishna, he asks Sukadeva Goswami, now what is the solution for these jivas? And then the whole section about atonement is there, that how these jivas need to atone for their actions. And then atonement is explained on three levels, that first Sukadeva Goswami tells him about atonement by doing karma kanda things, like doing rituals or doing sacrifices. But Parikshit Maharaj does not accept. He says that no, but still the desire will come up to sin. And then Sukadeva Goswami further tells him that by dhyana you overcome it. But again Parikshit Maharaj doesn't accept that reply. And Parikshit Maharaj knew that actually his spiritual master was testing him in this. And then he further implores him that no, you tell me more. And then Sukadeva Goswami reveals the highest form of atonement, which is the chanting of the holy name or devotional service to the Lord. And that's what sets the scene for the Ajamil pastime, that Ajamil was so sinful but still he was delivered by just chanting the holy name of the Lord. So we see this quality of devotees coming out throughout the sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, that how they are so paradukhadukhi, how they feel so much compassion, and all their questions are based on this compassion to the suffering jivas in the material world. But when Arjuna was lamenting like this in the Bhagavad Gita also, that I don't want to fight, they are all my relatives, they are my grandfather, my teacher, and I can't fight, I can't slay them. So that time Krishna then starts instructing him in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He starts giving him the knowledge of the soul. And one of the first instructions he gives him is the shloka, Dehi Nosmin Yatha Dehe. So he says that as the embodied soul passes continuously from this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, similarly the soul passes into another body at death. And he says, Dhira Tatra Na Muhyati, that a sober person, a dhira, is not bewildered by such a change. So Krishna is saying that usually sober people are not bewildered by such a change. But we are seeing here that Yudhishthir Maharaj is grieving. So is it that Yudhishthir Maharaj is not a dhira? He is not a sober person? He has started grieving. He is feeling so much affection for all the people who have died. Because many of them were his relatives, his cousins, his friends, and they all have died. And in the next few verses, Prabhupada explains how many millions, there's a calculation given, how many millions of soldiers died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Prabhupada says that a dhira or a sober person is not bewildered, but we see that Yudhishthir Maharaj is bewildered over here and he is crying, he is grieving. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was actually, it's not that he was not a dhira, he was actually a great soul. He was the son of Dharmaraj, he was the son of Yamaraj, and Yudhishthir Maharaj knew all the codes of Dharma. He was almost like Dharma personified. In fact, it is said in the Mahabharata that Duryodhana was so envious of all the Pandavas and he had so much hatred in his heart. But still he could never disrespect Yudhishthir Maharaj. Whenever Yudhishthir Maharaj used to come, he could never speak disrespectfully to him. Because Yudhishthir Maharaj had conducted himself like that. He was a person of spotless character. And there is a description in the Mahabharata that just before the war was about to begin, and both the parties had arranged on the opposing sides. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, what he does? He does something amazing just before the war is about to begin. He actually takes off his armor, he keeps down his weapons on his chariot, and he starts walking with folded hands towards the opposite party. And his brothers also did not know what's going on, the other four brothers, the other four Pandavas. They are bewildered. They actually start thinking, oh, is Yudhishthir Maharaj going to give up fighting at this stage when everything has been arranged? So they were bewildered and they asked Krishna, Arjuna asked Krishna, what is going on? Where is Yudhishthir Maharaj going like this with folded hands, without his armor and weapons? And Krishna obviously is a Paramatma, so he knew what was going to happen and he just pacifies him and he says, you just observe what Yudhishthir Maharaj is about to do. So Yudhishthir Maharaj actually walks towards the opposite party, the other warring party, and he first goes to Bhishma Pitama. And he, with folded hands, he pays obeisances to Bhishma. And he tells him that, Your Majesty, now we are about to fight this war with you all. And we have to participate in this war and we have to fight. You all are in my opposite party. But still, you please bless me that we are able to be successful in our attempts. And Bhishma Pitama was so, he was so amazed at Yudhishthir Maharaj's quality that, you know, even at this point of time when the war is about to start and, you know, when the war is about to start, obviously you're in the mode of passion. How many people I'm going to kill? And these people have done so much injustice to us. So there is obviously anger and passion. But still amidst all this, Yudhishthir Maharaj does not forget the etiquettes that he has to take blessings from his elders. So he goes and takes blessings of Bhishma Pitama and Bhishma says that you have all my blessings. Because of these qualities of yours, you will be victorious in whatever you attempt. So you will win this war. And these are the blessings he gets from the opposite party. And then after that, Yudhishthir Maharaj, same thing he does with Dronacharya, Kripacharya, he does this with all his elders. And after getting their blessings to win the war, he comes back to his chariot and he again puts on his armor and takes up his weapons. So this was Yudhishthir Maharaj's quality. He knew all the etiquettes, he knew all the dharma, what is supposed to be done, and he knew how elders have to be respected, and he knew that if he doesn't take the blessings of Bhishma or Drona or Kripacharya, there is no chance. Obviously Krishna was there on their side, but he was thinking he has to take their blessings. And they all blessed him with a full heart, they all blessed him that you win this war. And just before the war was about to happen, when Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Pandavas had been sent into exile, they had to stay incognito for some time. So during their exile pastimes, they were in the forest, and one Brahmana comes to Yudhishthir Maharaj and he says that one deer has run away with the arami wood. There is a specific wood which is required to light fire. So the Brahmana tells him that I was about to start my sacrifice, but a deer has run away. The wood got entangled in its antlers and the deer has run away. So can you please get that arami wood back for me, because without that I can't light fire, I can't do my sacrifice. And Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the Pandavas, because they are Kshatriyas and their duty is to protect the Brahmanas and allow sacrifices to happen in the kingdom. So they immediately start going behind this deer. But the deer was very mystical, like we see in Ramayana also. You know how the deer was mystical and it kept going away, it could not be caught by Ram. So this deer was also very mystical. It kept running away and it took them deeper and deeper into the forest. And as soon as they thought they are about to capture the deer used to disappear. And then again they could see it some distance away. So like this the Pandavas followed the deer and they got so tired because they were not able to catch the deer at all. So all of them sit down under a banyan tree and they are totally famished and they are very hungry and thirsty. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj tells Nakula that can you please climb on the tree and see if there is a source of water nearby. And Nakula actually spots a nice pond, a nice lake nearby. So he says, okay, I'll go and get water for all of y'all. You'll take rest here. So Nakula goes to that lake and as soon as he's about to drink water and collect water for his brothers, there is a voice which comes from the sky and that voice says that don't drink this water. If you drink this water, you will die. If you first answer my questions, I will allow you to drink this water. And Nakula thought, what is this voice coming? Why should I listen? Because he was a Kshatriya. He thought, why should I listen to this voice? So he just ignored the voice and he drank the water. And as soon as he drank the water, he fell down dead on the bank of that lake. So since Nakula did not come for some time, then Sahadeva was sent. And Sahadeva also met with similar fate. And then the other Pandavas were sent. Then Bhima went, then Arjuna went, and all of them met with the same fate. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj was getting worried that so many of my brothers have all gone, but they haven't come back. So what has happened? So then Yudhishthir Maharaj goes to that lake. And he sees his brothers are there and he's overwhelmed. Oh, what happened to my brothers? And he says, there is no sign of resistance. There is no war which has happened. They are just simply lying down as if they are sleeping. So he wonders what has gone wrong. And then because he was so thirsty, he first wanted to drink some water. And as soon as he was about to drink the water, the same voice came from the sky. And the voice said that, please stop. Don't drink this water, otherwise you will also meet the same fate as your brothers. But if you answer my questions, then I will allow you to drink this water. So then Yudhishthir Maharaj, because he was a person of spotless character and he was such an elevated person, he immediately stopped. He did not drink the water because he acknowledged that, okay, this lake, that means belongs to someone and that person wants me to acknowledge his ownership over the lake and only then I will drink water. So he stops and he says, who are you? So then a yaksha appears and he says that I'm the yaksha and I live in this water and this lake belongs to me. So if you drink this water without answering my questions, then you will also die by the poison of this water, just as your brothers have died. So then Yudhishthir Maharaj says that you please ask me whatever questions you have to ask. And there is a very interesting conversation then which takes place between Yudhishthir Maharaj and this Yaksha. So there are a series of questions which the Yaksha asks Yudhishthir Maharaj, and all of which Yudhishthir Maharaj is able to answer correctly because he is the son of Dharmaraj. He is almost Dharma personified. So he knew the codes of Dharma, and the questions were all about different aspects of Dharma. So we'll just discuss a few important questions. And the first question which the Yaksha asks was that, what is faster than wind? And Yudhishthir Maharaj replies that it is the mind which is faster than wind. This uncontrolled mind. It can go even at a much faster speed than the wind. And then the Yaksha asks that, what is more innumerable in this world than straws, than the blades of grass? What is more innumerable than that? And Yudhishthir Maharaj says that the desires which come in this mind. There are more, like a single person can have more desires than there are innumerable blades in the world. So this was the second question. Then one more question which the Yaksha asks. He asks that, what is the most valuable possession of this world? And Yudhishthir Maharaj says that it is knowledge which is the most valuable possession of this world. So the Yaksha further asks that, what is real knowledge then? If knowledge is the most important possession, then what is real knowledge? And to that question, Yudhishthir Maharaj replies that knowledge of self as separate from matter is real knowledge, and how to discriminate between the two, that means how to discriminate between matter and self, that constitutes real knowledge. So from this answer we can see that Yudhishthir Maharaj knew what is the difference between a living person and a dead person, and how the soul is eternal. Like here we are seeing he is grieving for the dead people, but he knew all this, he had all this knowledge, and he displayed it when he answered to the questions of Yaksha. And then the Yaksha, one more important question which the Yaksha asks was that, what is wickedness in this world? And Yudhishthir Maharaj says that to criticize others and to find faults with others is the most wicked thing in this world. So Prabhupada explains in that section that is what a Vaishnava should be. He should never try to find faults with others. And we see even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy was the same. So if try to fan the good, like try to see the good in others and try to fan that spark rather than finding faults and criticizing other devotees. And then he says, one more question which the Yaksha asks, that what is the most wonderful thing in this world? And Yudhishthir Maharaj says that day after day, there are people who are passing through the door of death, but those who are left behind still feel that I will not pass through the door of death. My turn won't come to die. And I find this as the most amazing thing in this world. So these are the answers which Yudhishthir Maharaj gives to the Yaksha. And the Yaksha was completely satisfied. He was so happy by the answers of Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he says that, you know dharma so perfectly. Nobody can, you know, beat you in course of dharma. So I'm so happy with your answers that I will bring back to life one of your brothers. So you please choose which brother you want to be brought back to life. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj, without even blinking an eyelid, he says that you please bring Sahadev back to life. So then the Yaksha asks, he's surprised. He says that you are about to wage a war. When your exile is over, you are going to wage a big war, and you don't want Bhima to be alive so that he can assist you with the war, or at least Arjuna. They both are great warriors. Why are you choosing Sahadev? And Yudhishthir Maharaj says that my father had two wives, Kunti and Madri. So at least I am alive. I am Kunti's son and still I am alive. But it will be injustice to Madri if none of Madri's representative or Madri's son is alive. And that is why I want Sahadev to be alive. So the Yaksha was so happy at Yudhishthir Maharaj's selflessness, that, you know, such character this person has. So immediately the Yaksha says that I'm so happy that I will bring back all the brothers to life. And immediately all the Pandavas are revived. And after that, Yudhishthir Maharaj then requests, he realizes that this Yaksha is not an ordinary person, because a Yaksha cannot bring dead people back from death. So this has to be someone extraordinary. So then Yudhishthir Maharaj requests the Yaksha that, can you please reveal yourself? Who are you? What is your true identity? And the Yaksha then reveals himself that it was actually Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj's father Yamaraj, who had come to actually test Yudhishthir Maharaj. So even that deer was actually sent by Dharmaraj, so that they become thirsty, they come to this lake. So then he reveals himself, and Yudhishthir Maharaj is so happy on seeing his father, because I think that was the first time he met his father in the Mahabharata. So he's so ecstatic to meet his father. And after that, Yamaraj offers him. He says that you ask any benediction that you want from me. I'm so pleased with you today that you have passed all the tests which I laid before you. So you are about to wage this big war. Ask any benediction that you want from me for this war. And Yudhishthir Maharaj says that yes, I really need a benediction. Can you please give me the benediction that I am victorious in the war against the six enemies? And he is not meaning the war, Kurukshetra war, or the enemies like Duryodhan and all. Yudhishthir Maharaj is saying that I want to conquer these six enemies which are inside me, which are lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride. So he says that I want to envy all these anarthas. I want to be victorious in my war against these anarthas which are there inside me, because these anarthas are not allowing me to serve Lord Krishna properly. They are obstructing my devotion to Lord Krishna. And then Yamraj says that you have already won this war because you are such a nice devotee of the Lord. And he gives him benedictions. I promise you, I bless you that always Krishna will protect you. Krishna will always be on your side, and whatever attempts you do in this life will always be successful. You will always be victorious in whatever attempts you do. So we see that he is such a great personality. Yudhishthir Maharaj is such a great personality. You know, in the pastime before the war, when he goes and pays obeisances to all the elders, and even in this samvad between the Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Yaksha, his spotless character is coming out, his divine qualities are coming out. But then why? Why is he grieving like this? In this verse we see, he has started grieving like a common materialistic man. And this is because, Prabhupada reveals further in the purport, that this is because that this is the will of the Lord. So the devotees of the Lord always act according to the plan or the will of the Lord. And Yudhishthir Maharaj here is playing just like an instrument in the plan of the Lord. Because the Lord desired so, that you know it should happen like this, that Yudhishthir Maharaj should grieve. He had a plan for Yudhishthir Maharaj. And therefore he has started now grieving like a common materialistic man. So the Lord always uses his trusted devotees to execute his plan. And we see this again in the previous, or I think it will come later on, of Parikshit Maharaj. Now Parikshit Maharaj was such a great devotee of the Lord that he had darshan of the Lord in the womb of his mother itself. Because Uttara, we just saw before, maybe in the 6th chapter or something, that Ashwatthama has released again a Brahmastra at Uttara's womb. And he is trying to kill the last descendant of the Pandavas. And then Uttara comes running towards Krishna. And Krishna actually enters the womb of Uttara and protects Parikshit Maharaj while he is still in the womb. So he gives actually Parikshit Maharaj as darshan of the Lord, the four-handed form of the Lord. And after Parikshit Maharaj comes out, he is still not forgetting that darshan, for the darshan of the Lord. So he is always examining, where is that Lord? Where is that Lord whose darshan I had in the womb? And therefore he is called as Parikshit. That means one who does pariksha. Pariksha means to examine. Because he is always examining, he is always looking out for the Lord. So he is such a nice devotee of the Lord. But when we see that he has gone out hunting once. And when he is hunting, he becomes so thirsty. And he is looking for water, and he comes to the ashram of one great brahmana, of a great sage. And that brahmana was actually meditating. And when Parikshit Maharaj enters that ashram, he asks for water. And he does not realize that the brahmana is actually gone into deep trance. But he thinks that, you know, our guest should be received. Those are the moral codes of conduct. That guest, whenever a guest comes to your house, he should be received with sweet words, a sitting place, a glass of water. These are some of the etiquettes which have to be followed when a guest comes to your house. So Parikshit Maharaj goes and this brahmana does not receive him. And he thought that he is just feigning, like as if he is in meditation, because he does not want to receive Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj becomes so angry, overcome by his thirst, that he picks up a dead snake when he doesn't receive any response, although he repeatedly asks for water. He picks up a dead snake, he becomes angry, so he picks up a dead snake and he places it around the shoulders of this brahmana or this sage. And then he goes away from there. So we see Parikshit Maharaj, when he sat down to hear Bhagavatam, he came to know that he is about to die, and he sat down to hear Bhagavatam. He did not eat or drink for 7 continuous days. He was fasting till his death. So such a person, he is thirsty and he could not control his thirst. And he became angry just because the brahmana is not responding to him. And he knew Parikshit Maharaj was a devotee. So he knew when a devotee actually goes in trance, he is not an external consciousness. So he knew all that. But still he thought that this sage is, you know, just feigning. He is just acting because he doesn't want to receive me. So we see that, you know, he has got covered. Parikshit Maharaj has got covered. These are not his actual qualities. He is a person who has complete control over his hunger and thirst. And he himself was a devotee, so he knew how to identify another devotee. And he knew when a devotee is actually in trance or in meditation. But still he gets covered. And Prabhupada explains over there that this was all a pastime of the Lord. This was all a plan of the Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj was just playing like an instrument to execute the will of the Lord. Because the plan of the Lord was that Kali Yuga should start. So while Parikshit Maharaj was on this planet, Kali Yuga cannot start, because Parikshit Maharaj was such a strong king that he had chastised Kali and he had kept him at bay. He had not allowed Kali's influence to spread in his kingdom while he was still ruling. So he was such a strong person that Kali Yuga would never start. But there are four Yuga cycles, and according to time, Kali Yuga had to start. So then the Lord had to arrange for Parikshit Maharaj to leave the planet, because if he doesn't leave, then how will Kali Yuga start? So that was one plan of the Lord in, you know, making Parikshit Maharaj act like that. The second plan of the Lord was that he wanted the Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken. So therefore he made this whole pastime happen like this, where Parikshit Maharaj, you know, offends the sage, and then the sage's son Sringi, he actually curses Parikshit Maharaj that, this Kshatriya has done like this to a Brahmana. This is how culture has become nowadays, and he curses that this person will die in 7 days. So when he comes to know of his death, then we know the pastime. He goes to the banks of the Ganga and all the sages assemble. And then Sukadeva Goswami walks in and the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken. So the second plan of the Lord in Parikshit Maharaj behaving like an ordinary person, or a person who doesn't know the real devotional qualities, was that the Lord wanted Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken. And the third plan of the Lord was that he wanted, because in this Kali Yuga Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to advent. So he wanted Kali Yuga to start fast so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can come on this planet. So these were some of the plans of the Lord, and Parikshit Maharaj was just acting according to the will of the Lord. And another example where we see a devotee being used as an instrument to execute the will of the Lord is none other than Bhishma Dev himself, from whom Yudhishthir Maharaj will now take instructions in the next chapter. So Bhishma Dev is one of the 12 Mahajans actually. He, you know, along with Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, all the different Janak, Prahlad Maharaj, along with all these Mahajans, Bhishma Dev is one of the Mahajans. So he is an authority on the religious principles. He is one of the persons in this world who knows the religious principles. And he was also a very pure devotee of the Lord. So such a person is, you know, it's surprising that he took the side of Adharma. He fought on the side of Duryodhan. And it is mentioned in the Mahabharata that Duryodhan was so envious of the Pandavas. He was so envious, he never wanted the Pandavas to have even a small pin of land when Krishna requested that you at least give them 5 villages to rule. But he said, I'll not give them even a pin of land in which they can rule. So he was so envious. And it is mentioned, Prabhupada explains that, you know, if somebody breaks one of the regulative principles, he starts eating meat or he starts gambling or he engages in illicit sex. Of course, such a person has to get reaction for breaking the regulative principle. But all these things taken together, if he breaks the regulative principles, all these things taken together are not as unpalatable to the Lord as the envy of a person towards his devotee. So the Lord cannot tolerate if a person is envious towards his devotee and is discourteous towards his devotees. And Duryodhana was exactly that. He was so envious of the Pandavas, and he was always trying to kill the Pandavas, getting them out of the way. So Bhishma Pitama knew that Duryodhana is like that. He is envy personified. But still he took the side of the Kauravas, and he fought on the wrong side, on the side of Adharma. And it is explained that, because he was living, the moral reason which is explained for this action of Bhishma is that, he was living at the expense of the Kauravas, and the Kauravas were feeding him and he was living in their palace. So that is why he had to take the side of the Kauravas. But Bhishma Pitama was a pure devotee, so he did not care for these moral principles. He could have broken them easily because he knew what is the right thing to do. But the internal reason is that Bhishma Pitama knew what is the plan of the Lord. So he agreed to be used as an instrument because he wanted to show the whole world. The Lord wanted to use Bhishma and show the whole world that no matter whoever it is, whether it is the greatest person in this universe, or, you know, it's a Mahajan, he's one of the greatest persons in this universe. But even if such an elevated person takes the side of Adharma or goes against God, then such a person will be vanquished. such a person will not be spared because he is, you know, a great person or he is a Mahajan. He won't be spared. So Bhishma Pitama allowed himself to be used as an example. And he knew for time immemorial to come, people are going to misunderstand him. Oh, why he took the side of the Kauravas when he knew he loved the Pandavas so much? Why did he not fight for the Pandavas? So people knew, Bhishma Pitama knew that people will misunderstand him. But still he agreed to be humiliated and to be used like this by the Lord, just so that the plan of the Lord is executed. And the plan of the Lord was that he wanted to use Bhishma as an example to show that if you take the side of Adharma, you will be vanquished. In time you will be vanquished, no matter whoever you are. So we see, and the Lord always uses his trusted devotees. He will not use, you know, somebody whom he can't trust to execute such plans. So we see this in the case of Jaya and Vijay also, that the Lord had this desire to fight, and then the Kumaras come and they actually apparently curse Jaya and Vijay, and the Jaya and Vijay stop the Kumaras. So all these things are happening in Vaikuntha, which is a place of no misery. But you know, we see these dualities happening. Jaya and Vijay are stopping the Kumaras, they think that they are ordinary children, and then the Kumaras are cursing, getting angry. In Vaikuntha we know that, you know, there are all spiritual qualities, nobody gets angry. But the whole pastime is because the Lord has a desire to fight, and whom will he use to satisfy that chivalrous rasa which has aroused in the Lord? So he uses his trusted devotees, he uses Jaya and Vijay. He sends them down to the material world as demons, and then the Lord comes and satisfies his fighting spirit by using his trusted devotees. And these trusted devotees of the Lord, they never complain. So for example, Parikshit Maharaj or Bhishma Pitama, they were actually, you know, they died for just fulfilling the will of the Lord. But still they never complained that, oh, why the Lord is doing like that with us. They did not do like that. And Prabhupada explains in the third canto, I was just reading the third canto, and where the pastime of the Yadus leaving the planet is there. So there also Prabhupada explains that, you know, Krishna wanted to wind up his pastimes, earthly pastimes, and he wanted to go back. But how will he wind up the pastimes of the Yadavas? Because they are so strong, how to take that whole race up from the earth and, you know, end his pastimes? So then Krishna arranges that they will all drink that rice wine or something, and they will all get intoxicated and they will all kill each other in a fratricidal war, like in a family war they will all kill each other. So this was nothing but Krishna's plan, just to take them away from this earth planet and to wind up his pastimes. And there Prabhupada explains that the devotees, all these devotees of the Lord, they are all surrendered souls. So they actually like to be used as transcendental instruments in executing the will of the Lord. They want to be used in any way that the Lord likes. And they never have their independent individuality. They use their individuality in the service of the Lord. And Prabhupada says that in this way the devotees always are in, you know, line with the plan of the Lord, and that is how the Lord's pastimes become so nectarian. Because the devotees are willing to forsake anything. They are willing to forsake their reputation, they are willing to forsake even their lives, just so that the plan of the Lord can be achieved. So we see this in Parikshit Maharaj's case, in Bhishma's case, in the Yadu's case. We see that they have sacrificed their lives so that the Lord's plan can be executed in the world. So Yudhishthira Maharaj has started grieving in this section, and he is not getting convinced at all. Vyasadeva came, so many other sages came, and they all tried to convince him based on logic, based on Shastra, based on Jnana. They all tried to convince him. And then even Lord Krishna, in the previous verse it says, Krishna, who is the performer of wonderful activities, he also tried to satisfy or to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj that, you know, there is no need to grieve, whatever you did was okay. But still Yudhishthira Maharaj is not getting convinced. And again, because here the plan of the Lord is that he wants Bhishma Pitama to be glorified. He doesn't want Yudhishthira Maharaj to get convinced, even by Krishna or by Vyasadeva or anybody, because he wants that Bhishma's glories come out. And he wants that Bhishma instructs him. He wants them to go. So again, you know, the Lord, Prabhupada always explains that the Lord is very clever. So the definition of a clever person is that he can achieve 3 or 4 objectives by one activity. So the Lord always does that. By any one activity, he is achieving different objectives. So here also we see, he is making Yudhishthira Maharaj grieve. So it is the Paramatma from within who is actually making Yudhishthira Maharaj grieve like that. He is making Yudhishthira Maharaj grieve like an ordinary, common, materialistic man. And then he is not allowing him to get convinced also. So many sages are coming, Vyasadeva himself has come, and then Krishna himself tries to convince. But from within he is not allowing Yudhishthira Maharaj to get convinced. So there were 2-3 reasons for that. because he wanted Yudhishthir Maharaj to go to Bhishma Pitama. And that way what will happen is Bhishma Pitama is lying on the bed of arrows, about to leave the world. And the Pandavas were so dear to his heart. So he would get darshan of the Pandavas before he is leaving the world. And it is explained further down that when the Pandavas go mounted on their chariots, because now they have become the emperors of the world. Yudhishthir Maharaj is the emperor of the world. So he goes in all that regal and regality and royalty. He goes towards the battlefield where Bhishma Pitama is lying. So it is like a feast for the eyes for Bhishma Pitama. He is so happy to see his beloved Pandavas now reinstated on the throne of Hastinapur. So that would give so much happiness to Bhishma Pitama. That was one of the reasons why Yudhishthir Maharaj is not getting convinced by anybody. And the second reason was that Bhishma Pitama will be glorified, because he will give instructions to Yudhishthir Maharaj, and then only Yudhishthir Maharaj will get convinced. So he actually wanted to glorify Bhishma Pitama. And we see that this is a quality of the Lord. He always wants his devotees to be glorified. It is mentioned that the Lord is much happier or more happier when his devotees are glorified, and when the credit goes to his devotees, rather than when he is glorified or when people give him the credit. And that, therefore we see in the Bhagavad Gita also, in the 11th chapter, after the Lord has given the universal form darshan to Arjuna, he tells Arjuna that, you know, please, you just be an instrument. He says, Savyasachi, you be an instrument. You are just nimitta matra. Actually, all these people have already been killed. They have been killed by me in the form of time. They are already dead because they have taken the side of the adharma, and because they touched a chaste woman's hair. They had already been killed by me. But you become nimitta matra. You become an instrument, and you take the glory of fighting this war and winning this war. And therefore I want you to fight. So we see there also Krishna actually wants, Prabhupada explains, he wants the whole glory, the whole credit of winning the war to go to the Pandavas. Otherwise, for the Lord, it is a very small task to just wipe out the whole race of the Kauravas. Even by raising an eyebrow, he could have done that. But he wants the war to happen so that the Pandavas are glorified and the Pandavas take the credit of winning the war. And we see this in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime also, how the Lord wants his devotees to be glorified. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he has his conversation with Ramanand Rai, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows, he is the Lord himself, so he knows the highest philosophy. He in fact came to propound the highest philosophy, to give us pure love of Radha and Krishna. But he makes Ramanand Rai to speak all this high philosophy. He keeps asking him questions. No, you go further, what is the highest? He keeps asking him questions, and Ramanand Rai keeps answering them, and then he comes to the highest platform, which is love for which is existing in the spiritual world of the gopis for Krishna. So we see, and Ramanand Rai says also that, my Lord, I'm just an instrument. You are only putting all this knowledge on my tongue and I'm speaking it because I'm just an instrument. Just as a violinist or a guitarist plays the strings of the guitar, like that, I'm just that guitar and you are playing those strings. He uses that example. So Ramanand Rai knew that he is just an instrument and all the knowledge is being given to him by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Ramanand Rai's name to be glorified, and therefore he implores Ramanand Rai to speak all these truths. So we see that in this section of the Bhagavatam which has started, we see that the Lord is making Yudhishthir Maharaj grieve like a common man, because the Lord wants his plan to be executed. And also we see how Yudhishthir Maharaj qualities, a devotee's qualities are coming out, that a devotee is paradukha dukhi. He feels compassion. Even though he has fought for dharma, even though the war was under the instructions of Krishna, but still a devotee is paradukha dukhi. He still feels compassion. And plus the plan of the Lord is also going on in making Yudhishthir Maharaj grieve like that, because the Lord wanted Bhishma Pitama to be glorified further down in the 9th chapter. So these are some of the themes which are coming out from this section of the Bhagavatam. So we'll end our class here and we'll ask if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Mataji is asking whether these devotees who are acting as instruments to execute the plan of the Lord, do they know that they are being used as an instrument? So it is again up to the Lord. If the Lord wants to reveal that his plan is like this, then the devotee will know. But otherwise, most of the time the devotee is covered, and he is not covered by Mahamaya, he is covered by the Yogamaya potency of the Lord, because he is a pure devotee. But in case of Bhishma Pitama, when you know he fought on the side of the Adharma and he fought for the Kauravas, Prabhupada explains, I read in the purport that Prabhupada, he knew, Bhishma Pitama knew that this is the plan of the Lord, and therefore he agrees to, you know, go on the opposite side, because Bhishma Pitama is a Mahajan, his position is very unique. So he knew that the Lord wanted to use him as an instrument to show the whole world. And there is actually one more reason which we didn't mention in the class, was that Bhishma Pitama was in chivalrous rasa. Like every devotee has a different rasa with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhishma Pitama's rasa with the Supreme Lord is chivalry. And to satisfy that chivalrous rasa, he has to be on the opposite side. Obviously, you can't be on the same side and fight with the person on your side. So there, that is one more thing why he was on the opposite side. But in that section, Prabhupada mentions that Bhishma Pitama knew that it is the will of the Lord that he be used as an instrument. And he just wanted to be used because he is very happy. The devotees are happy if they are used like that. But in most of the cases, like in this case, in Yudhishthir Maharaj case or in Parikshit Maharaj case, they get covered by Yogamaya. So then many times they don't know. But still, because they are surrendered devotees, they just go along with the plan of the Lord. So we see in Parikshit Maharaj's case, he was a powerful Kshatriya. And when he heard of the curse, if you read that section of the Bhagavatam, it's so beautiful. He heard of the curse, but he did not protest at all. He could have actually counter-cursed, or he could have even, you know, he is a Kshatriya and that Brahmana was in his, Shaunaka Rishi was in his kingdom. He could have actually, you know, got him beheaded or something like that, or he could have got Sringi beheaded for doing like this to the ruling emperor of the world at that time. But he did not do that. He just accepted the curse as the will of the Lord. So, you know, although they may not know the exact plan of the Lord that, you know, the Lord wants that Kali Yuga should start or anything like that, but they just, they accept things which come in their life as the will of the Lord, any reverses which come in their life. And this was a reversal in Parikshit Maharaj's life. That, you know, he was at the prime of his youth. It was not that he had become old or anything. He had wife, he had a big kingdom, a big treasury, so children. But at the spur of the moment, he just got detached from everything and he accepted this curse as the will of the Lord. Neither did he counter-curse, nor did he take any effect. Or he asked the sages, okay, now can you all please give me long life by counter-doing, let's do some ritual to counter this curse which has come on me so that my life gets extended. No. His question to Sukadeva Goswami as soon as he takes the seat is that what is the duty of a dying man? So he accepted that this is the will of the Lord, I have to die, but now let me perfect my life. So that is how the devotees of the Lord. Anything else?
On the same point, what we did Maharaj Nanan, Vishnu knew that he took his Nastika Brahmacharya because of his father's. The father wanted to make a Vishnananda daughter. Did he know that because it is Krishna's plan, or he sacrificed for his father?
In Bhishma Pitama's case, Prabhupada mentions that he knew what the Lord's plan was. The Lord
had,
that is why maybe, you know, he knew in future what is going to happen. So, that is what Prabhupada says in that section, that Bhishma Pitama knew, because Krishna, to some devotees, Krishna reveals the plan from within us, Paramatma. And to some devotees, he does not allow them to be convinced. Like in this section, Prabhupada writes in the purport that he as Paramatma was not allowing Yudhishthir Maharaj to get convinced.
Because Prabhupada did so many sacrifices, Prabhupada's sake must be realized. The other thing we were talking yesterday in Bhakti Bhava course last night about that accident in Nepal, I found out on Bhakti Ma, it was a difficulty that plane could not land. I was there in Kathmandu only last second October. It's a very difficult terrain, and the airport is so small, the strip, so it's very no
it's
water.
At a very high altitude.
Very hard, difficulty to land. And this is also Krishna's plan, that those devotees, about 10 people died in that plane. And everybody is now there. Only so this was a question.
Yeah, the devotees have gone. Some people survived.
My next question is, where is this description about the talk between Ramanath and Yudhishthira Maharaj, the reference?
It's from the Mahabharata, Prabhuji.
Do you know the
No. I don't know, but there is a lecture my Guru Maharaj has given on the questions of between Yaksha and Yudhishthira Maharaj. But if you go on the internet and search in the Mahabharata, you'll find. I don't know which, whether it's Adi Parva and all. I don't know the section from which in Mahabharata it is there.
But those are very interesting.
Yeah, those are very interesting questions.
Thank you.
Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.